This message is brought to you by 12 Stone Church. Pastor Kevin Myers delivers the teaching entitled, God is More Powerful. This is the first message in the series, What Was I Thinking? Should you need additional information, please go to 12stone.com. There you will find many resources in the Watch a Message section, including this teaching in both audio and video formats. There's also an extensive archive of past teachings. We hope this serves you well. Please enjoy.
So welcome to 12 Stone for this back to school season. And over the next 4 weeks, we are going to unpack four truths, discover four truths about God that we may not know. But I'm telling you, once you know them, once you get them in your head, once you get it in your heart, once you get it in your soul, it will change the way you think and transform the way you live. So, what do you think about God? Who is God? What do you believe about him? Now, over the summer, my 13-year-old, Jaden, was regaling me with some entertaining video from Disney's Walk the Prank. It's a show that does this great prank hoax on people and sets them up. And we're going to enjoy one of those today. This is one where the target is a babysitter, a sitter for older kids. And all the kids are in on this. And Disney went to huge lengths to set up this hoax where they wrote a story about a pig man coming out from under the bed. And then went to all the Hollywood detail with the hidden cameras and with the Hollywood makeup. And I mean, they did it up to bring this bedtime story alive, to freak out the sitter and to get her to believe something is real, when of course we all know it's ridiculous, this can't possibly be real. And yet it sucks her in. This is entertaining. It's worth the whole 3 minutes. Check it out.
While Dusty is keeping our sitter busy, I'm gonna get under the bed and get ready for the prank.
Hey, can you come and read me my bedtime story now?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
So what is this story that you like to read?
This is my favorite book.
Really?
Yeah.
It scares me.
Under the bed.
Yeah, it scares me.
You like being scared? That's interesting. You like scary books before bed.
The only reason I want to read this is because it's like about a babysitter.
Really?
You're a babysitter.
So, well, hopefully the babysitter is like cool and not like get overtaken by whatever's under the bed.
Oh, don't worry. You'll see who's under the bed soon enough. But right now, let's get to our story.
Caleb had a problem. Whenever he went to sleep, it was under the bed. It was a very scary pig man. It was grumpy because no one believed in him. That is why it liked to scare children. One night, a nice babysitter came by to look after Caleb. She read him a story.
What's you?
This is creeping me out a little bit.
Join the club.
I kind of don't want to turn the page.
Wow, Larissa's one brave babysitter. And now that we've got her reeled in, it's time to bring our book to life.
It said, I will scare the babysitter. So it made the windows rattle.
Time to cue our tree branch against the window.
What the heck? It's not even windy outside tonight.
Then it made the car alarm begin its honk-honking.
Time to cue our car alarm.
Is that your car? Your
no.
parents' car?
That's him.
What about a different book?
No, keep reading it.
But the pig man is making all these things happen.
That's really weird.
Are you sure you want to keep reading this?
I want to get to end. It's a happy ending.
Then it made the television turn on all by itself.
Using a TV would be too obvious. That's why we'll cue our radio.
Come back! It was just the radio!
Wow, she's braver than I thought. I wouldn't have come back. But now that she has, it's almost time for her to meet me, the pig man.
That scared me so bad. I'm sorry.
That scared me too.
I didn't mean to leave you like that.
Oh my god.
Like, you should feel my heartbeat right now. It feels like it's about to jump out of my chest.
Let's just finish it, and then we'll be okay.
Oh, that is so weird.
I get scared like that too, a lot.
All right, the babysitter asked Caleb where it was that this scary pig man lived. Caleb said it lives under the bed.
What scared of me next to your bed right now?
All right, one thing left to do. This little piggy is about to come out from under the bed.
What are you? You just walked the prank.
How many feel bad for the sitter? But you think it's funny anyway. Is that spectacular? And like the next day, in her more sane moment, she had to be saying to herself, what was I thinking? I mean, there's no such thing as a pig man. And they certainly don't come from out from under the bed. But she believed it and got sucked into the prank. Highly entertaining. Now, the Bible has been teaching us, God has been instructing us that Satan, the enemy of our soul, is trying to pull off the great hoax, the prank, to get us to believe that there really is no God, to become humanists, if you will, to think this all begins and ends with us, it's all about us, and we're the solver of all our problems, and we can make it all happen. And he's drawing us into this prank. And then even if there is a God, well, come on, okay? Even if there is a God, he's weak, distant, harsh, corrupt. When the truth is, our God is more powerful and more present and more loving and more holy than we have ever imagined or think. And so we're going to unpack four truths about God. The first one we'll unpack today with the help of Asa. Asa was a king of Judah back in the day, generations ago. And if he could show up, I think he would teach us what we put right there in your teaching notes. Back of your bulletin, cross campuses, look on the back, follow along your teaching notes. We'll put it on the screen. You can fill in the blank. Here's what I think he'd teach us. I'm not helpless, yet I'm often what? Powerless. But God is more powerful than I think. And he invites me to tap into his power. By the way, you look at that again. That right there, that could be true for all of us. We should all be able to say, see, I can say, I'm not helpless, that's true. Yet I'm often powerless. But God is more powerful than I think. And he invites me to tap into his power. We're going to look at that one sentence at a time. So here we go. It's in your notes. Let's follow along. Let's see what God has for us. I'm not helpless. And Asa would say, I'm not helpless, but I'm often powerless. Take your Bibles. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. We're in the Old Testament, page 441, page 441. If you haven't already grabbed a Bible, pull it out. Across campuses, you may have picked one up as you come into one of the campuses. We're on page 441. If you're on a mobile device, we're in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. We're going to start reading with verse 8. And Asa would tell us right off the top that, okay, I'm not helpless. Let's just agree. None of us are totally helpless. Look at verse 8. Asa had an army of 300,000 men from Judah, equipped with large shields and with spears, and 280,000 from Benjamin, armed with small shields and with bows. All these were brave fighting men. He has 580,000 soldiers. shields, warriors. He's not helpless. However, he's often powerless, even with that army. And you'll see why in verse 9. Zerah the Cushite marched out against them with an army of thousands upon thousands and 300 chariots. And they took up their battle positions. Let me give you the detail. What showed up to stand against his army of 580,000 is an army double his army. In other words, you might not be helpless, but many times you're powerless because what's coming against you is bigger than you. See, that's true in all our lives. Well, whatever capacities you have, wherever you're not helpless, the truth of the matter is very soon you hit powerless. You're facing problems and challenges and issues that are bigger than you. They're over your head, and you can't solve them in and of yourself. And this happens in big ways in life, and it happens in little ways. Let me give you an example of a little way. Last month, July, while we had some time off, our family likes to hike. And we were on a hike in North Georgia, and it wasn't a long one. We were just a couple of miles into the woods on the hike and checking out some waterfalls, and it was beautiful. It was a beautiful day and sunshine, and this is going to be an enjoyable day. And then when we got to the waterfall, it started to sprinkle. We're a couple of miles in. We're like, that's no big deal. It's just some light stuff. It's going to stop. It didn't stop. Then you heard the thunder. Then a little bit more. And then coming across the mountaintop was a nasty, dark thundercloud, massive. Oh, this might not be good. Now, we're not helpless. We can walk. And so we start walking back. But we are powerless to stop the storm. And it started to rain. And when I say it started to rain, we'd try and get underneath a tree, and after a while it was ridiculous. There was no stopping this. I mean, it was torrential. Here's what I mean by torrential. Let me just play 10 seconds. This wasn't the actual one, but this is what I'm talking about, just so you know what I'm talking about. So this is what I mean by it just kept coming. You see what I'm saying? We got stuck in thunderstorm, lightning, thunder, nasty. Anybody ever got caught in one of those? Now, let me just be clear. I don't mean just caught. I mean, we're out there with no umbrella and we are soaked. I mean, we could have gone swimming and been less wet. It's just, and I hate that. I mean, I don't know about pina coladas, but I do not like being caught in the rain. I just prefer not to be soaked it's just horrible. And we're just annoyed and irritated. When we got to the car, all we did was fill seats with water. We had no towels. We had no nothing. I'm just dripping, and I'm driving back. And I had to drive back through Helen. And of course, everybody, because it's thunderstorms, and it wouldn't stop. It was horrific. Everybody now has to get in their cars. And so it took like 40 minutes to go 4 or 5 miles through Helen. I didn't know Jesus. Good thing I wasn't preaching that weekend, because I couldn't have. I wasn't helpless, but I was powerless to stop the storm. And I hate being in that position. That Asa, in a major way, is in that position, and we all are in life. Let me draw it out for you. Here's what I'm saying, just to make sure we understand what we're talking about. He would tell you, look, helpless? No, I'm not helpless. There are things that I can do, but what I can do is limited. Because while I'm not helpless and I have an army and I can battle, so what I can do, I can battle, I can, but very soon I hit powerless. And see, I am often powerless. And the truth is, the majority of what you're navigating in life is in the arena where you don't have control. You don't have control of the economy. You don't have control over other people's decisions. You don't have control, really, ultimately, of your kids' decisions. I mean, let's just be honest. Just in the course of life, there's a whole bunch where you are powerless. And the question is, what do you do? What did Asa do? Look on the screen, verse 11. This is what Asa did. Then Asa called, say it with me, then Asa what? He called to the Lord his God. Man, Asa prayed. He called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, Lord our God, for we rely. We what? We rely on you. And in your name we have come against this vast army. Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere mortals prevail against you. You know, Asa was not helpless, but he knew he was powerless on the big scale. And what did he choose to do? Pray. What did he do, church? Pray. Why? Why, when he soon hit powerless, did he pray? Second sentence. Because he knew God is more powerful than we think. God is more what, church? Powerful than we think. In fact, more powerful than any of us are really thinking. God's more powerful than we think. Now, Asa is this great-great-grandchild. His great-great-grandfather was David, as in King David of David and Goliath fame. And he's a descendant, and so he knows that King David took down Goliath. He knows that King David has his great-great-grandfather has great accomplishments. He knows that he wrote things like Psalm 20, verse 7. Let's look at it. If you don't know that verse, some trust in chariots. Oh, see, that's what the other army across from Asa has. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. See, he's facing a larger army with greater weaponry and chariots that he doesn't have. But this was written by David generations ago. This is the first time Asa's being tested. Now it's Asa's family, Asa's finances, Asa's career, Asa's future. This is all on the line. See, when it's all on the line, when you've done the little bit that you can because you're not helpless, but you're quickly into powerless, what do you do? Who do you trust? Is it just all on you? And they said, no, I prayed. I put this to the test. I have to imagine that the others, as Asa does this, the other guys of warriors are gathered around with him. He did like, you're going to do what? I'm going to pray. They're standing there looking across the battlefield. They're like, they're facing an army twice their size. You're going to do what? I'm going to pray. That's it? That's all you got? That's all I got. Oh, man, this is scary. I mean, people think, well, I've run out of everything else to do. I'm going to pray. Prayer ain't going to do much, but I'm going to do it. I get, you know. Asa said, I'm not just going to pray. I'm going to pray not because it's the last thing, but because it's the best thing. Because our God is more powerful than we think. And go right back to 2 Chronicles, where we were reading, verse 12. And the Lord struck down the Cushites before Asa and Judah. The Cushites fled, and Asa and his army pursued them as far as Gerar. Such a great number of Cushites fell that they could not recover. They were crushed before the Lord and his forces. The men of Judah carried off a large amount of plunder. In other words, they were given victory and became wealthy. The terror of the Lord fell on their enemies. See, there had to be moments where Asa, prior to this prayer and prior to this battle, when he knows what's going on, he's got days to prepare, when he's wondering and he's doubting, I don't know if you can really trust God. I don't know if God's more powerful. And now, after he's seen God move, he had to ask himself, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? Why did I even doubt? Why did I even wonder? Why did I even question God? Now that I've seen the power of God and the hand of God move, now that I've seen God fight for us, oh my goodness, David, King David, he was not pranking us. It was not a hoax what he wrote. Our God is more powerful than I ever thought. And if he could show up and hang out with us and teach us, he'd tell us, listen, God is more powerful. How powerful do you think God is? He's more than that. And for 35 years, Asa and Judah lived in relative peace and prosperity. Great story. But that's not the end of the story. In the 36th year, chapter 16, verse 1, it says, another enemy showed up. Baasha, king of Israel. Now, I got to pause for context because some might be confused. Now, hold it. You said Israel? Yes. Back in the time of David, King David, he united the 12 tribes under his kingship. And that remained under his son Solomon. But after Solomon, they divided. And 10 of the tribes went in one direction, and that was called now Israel. And 2 of the tribes, Judah and Benjamin, united together descendants of David remaining in the covenant of God. Israel went distant from God, became an enemy of Judah. So now Israel is attacking Judah. And King Asa is in the same powerless position once again. And what does he do? What would he do? And he did not pray. All he did was pay. P-A-Y. Not P-R-A-Y. P-A-Y. It's the most fascinating twist. Asa, instead of praying, came up with his own best idea humanly. And without seeking God, he bargained. Verse 2 of chapter 16. He bargained with one of his enemies, king of Aram. And he went to the king of Aram and he said, listen, why don't we make an alliance and you go battle King Baasha for me, and that way it'll take Baasha away from me and free me up. And in order to make that bargain, listen, Asa gave up all of the gold and silver in the temple of the Lord. What belonged to the Lord, he gave it to King of Aram. And he gave all the gold and silver of his own personal treasury. He bankrupted himself and became subjugated to the king of Aram in order to solve his problem. And some people would say, oh, that's shrewd, that's smart. And it solved his problem temporarily, but it left him bankrupt and in trouble. What's curious is that he almost became a practical atheist. Oh, I believe in God, but no longer do I practice that. He took a human source first to fight his battles. Asa, who years ago, back here in the story, he was the guy that was awakened to the power of God, and he watched God crush the enemy. And now, after years of peace and prosperity, something shifted in his soul. And under the kindness of God, he became a humanist because he just kind of got used to things working. He fell asleep, drifted, and he couldn't even see it. We're all vulnerable. And the prophet, the seer, Hanani, stepped up. Chapter 16, verse 7. At that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, and you know what he said? What were you thinking? Are you kidding me? What were you thinking? He said to him, because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. Were not the Cushites and Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes, verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen. The eyes of the Lord look all across the world to strengthen. To what, church? Say it again. To do what? God is looking across the earth in order to grant his strength and power to whom? To those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Not half committed, not half hearted. Not those who speak of faith but don't actually translate it. Not practical atheists but true followers. Asa, you did a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war. If it were possible for Asa to leave the grave and come alive and hang with us and teach us, I think he would show up with such passion, such fire. And here's what I think he'd say. I think he'd say, everybody 12 stone, I get to talk to you for a few minutes today. Get your teaching notes out. No, right now, write this down. I'm going to tell you something that you got to get in your head and you got to get it in your heart. You got to get in your soul. You got to get in your mind. You got to know this. You got to practice this. I'm telling you, my own life is an illustration. I want to help you, and I can help you if you would get this. So I'm going to tell you what I learned, and it's going to help you. Here it is. When I relied on God's power, he'd say, are you writing that down? Did you write that down yet? When I relied on God's power, I added God's blessing and missed hardship. When I relied on God's power, I added God's blessing and I missed hardship. But when I relied on human power, Write it down. Write it down, everybody. See, you got to get this. When I relied on human power, I missed God's blessing and added hardship. For the rest of his kingship, he was at war. Hardship. Because he basically said in his humanism, well, I don't need to pray about this and talk to God. Kind of, God, leave me alone. I got this. And God did leave him alone. And he discovered that the peace and prosperity he had wasn't by his own hand. He would say, join me in my earlier years, not my later years. I was wise early on. I became a fool. I'm telling you, God is more powerful than you think. And he will give you strength. If you are fully devoted to him and you will seek him, because you are not helpless, but very soon you'll realize you spend most of your life in the range of the powerless. And God is more powerful than you can imagine or think. Church, that's why we pray. That's why on Saturday night we gather together at 9:15, and many people who choose to join in, and we've talked about it since the June series of Awakening. Why? Why do I come in here and pray? Why do I spend so much time praying over you? I mean, why not just sit down and be creative and come up with my best ideas and teach them? Because what we all need is more than what a human can do. You spend your whole week on what human beings can accomplish. What you really need, what we all need, is the power of God over our lives and what he can do that we cannot do for ourselves. Yes, that's what we need. That's why we pray. That's what we search for on the weekend. Listen, you need the power of God on your life. You don't just need what you can do, because you're spending the majority of your life in arenas where you're powerless. I mean, you can't make your spouse do what you want. You can't make your kids do what you want. You can't make your career work. You can't figure out the economics. I mean, let's just be honest. The majority of what you do in the world is in the realm of the where you have no power. You can't control it all. If you could, you wouldn't be where you are. You'd change things. And you need strength for your marriage. I mean, it's easy to say, I do. It's difficult to live it. Today, August 7th, today, this very day, marks 34 years for Marcia and I. Our wedding anniversary, 34 years today. Here's a picture from back in the day. Yep, we're marking it today. And you're looking and you see Marcia and you're like, oh, what a beautiful bride. What was she thinking? And then you look at me back in the day and you're like, and the hair thing, what were you thinking? What's the fro thing? Can I tell you what I was thinking? I was thinking it was cool. I was thinking Mr. Brady and Greg Brady, okay? Because it was cool back in the day. And just for a moment, for you young punks who get a little bit cocky along the way, I just want you to know that when you look at the old pictures and you're like, what were you guys thinking? I got good news for you. What you're doing right now that you think is really cool will someday become the pictures that you look back on and you say, what was I thinking? And we're looking forward to it. See, we need the power of God to strengthen us in our marriage. We need the power of God over our lives, over our families, over our finances. We need the power of God over the lives of our kids. They need the strength of God. So you need the strength of God. And they need it. My son Jake is 21 years old. Just finished his summer internship with Delta Airlines in the finance department. And he's got one more year of college, and so he had this great opportunity. And this last week, he had his 10-week preparation delivery of a presentation before some peers and some higher-ups. And that's intimidating. And so what did I do the day before, the night before? Just slap my hand on the back of my 21-year-old and say, well, son, you go give it your best talent, your best shot, and you go win that thing, and you be the man. That wasn't all I did. I said, son, I want to pray for you. And I placed my hand on the shoulder of my son. Actually, up here, he's 6'2". And I just took a moment. It wasn't complicated. It wasn't long. I just prayed over my son. I said, Father in heaven, thank you for the gift of my son, but he's your son. Would you do for Jake what Jake cannot do for himself in this presentation? Make his mind sharp. Help him remember and be at ease. Give him favor with his coworkers and the higher ups. Give him understanding for the Q&A that follows. Layer into his life the business development through this experience that you know will someday accumulate to where you have called him and created him to be. And though I can't be with him, you can. Bless him, I pray. See, my son is going to spend his whole life in the arena of places where he's powerless. And he needs the power of God to win. I want to give an invitation to you, parents. School is back. Parents, commit today to pray over your kids a blessing every day before they go to school. I'm going to invite you to do that. I do that for my kids. I have their whole lives. It is so simple. Do not complicate this. Don't weird out. Don't get awkward. Don't go to your kids, I'm now going to pass along the blessing. Kneel before me, kiss the ring. It's not that. It's not long. You don't even need their permission. They don't even need to agree with you. You just need to say, listen, I love you and I'm gonna pray for you. And that, I just, oh, I'm praying. I don't even give an, I'm praying. You know, before I drop them off or before they go to the bus and anytime I or Marshall, wait just quick. And it's a minute or less. In fact, a lot of times I'll say, do you have any tests today? Anything you're worried about today? What are you excited about today? What's frustrating you? Just give me a quick heads up. And then I'll just pray over God, God, I pray over Jaden. He's got a test today in this class. I pray that you'd help him remember everything he studied. I don't pray that you'd help him remember what he never studied. Okay, that's not how I pray. Help him remember everything he studied. See, you're not helpless. Do your part, but then you need God to help you. Help him navigate certain things with his friends. Help him work through this with his teacher. Help expand his mind and his understanding. Develop his capacities. Bless him in this day. Protect him. Watch over him. Whatever. Less than a minute. That's it. This is powerful. And you're like, well, I don't pray for my kids. We'll start. Well, it's a little awkward. Get over it. It's just a minute. That's it. And it's transforming. Because they need the strength and the power of God. See, how would I live if I knew God was more powerful than I think? How would I live? I'd tap into the power of God. I'd tap in. I'd what? See, if I knew God was more powerful than I really think he is, if I knew he was that powerful, if you really knew this, if you really believe this, then you would tap in. If you don't tap in, you don't believe it. If you knew he was that powerful, you would tap in. And here's the good news. God invites you to. God invites us to tap in. That's the third line of the sentence. So you got to settle. What are you going to believe? See, because I'm going to give you three things of why I would tap into the power of God. The first one is to live fearless. To live what? I need to live fearless. You know why? Because this world is filled with fear. And I experience it. In providing in life and finances and my future and the uncertainty and the economics and the political and the social and the national and the terrorism and the, are you kidding me? And the, whatever. Okay, so you, all kinds of reasons and health issues, all kinds of reasons to fear. But what you need to know is God is sovereign over the forces of evil and good. In fact, God has told us what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. I'm going to do something I've never really done before. I'm going to give his illustration, which is kind of like a 10-week series, but I'm just going to say it because I want you to know that what has happened in the Old Testament, what happens in the New Testament, is very clearly God telling us what's happened, what he's done, what he's presently doing, and what he's going to do, and nothing is going to thwart the plan of God. You don't have to take notes. You couldn't get this down at the speed. I'm going to deliver it anyway because it's a 10-week series. But I want you to know how the Bible works, the Old Testament and the New Testament. I'm going to give you an overview of the Bible in about 2.5 minutes. The whole Bible. It begins with God and righteous mankind, I'll just put it man, in paradise. Meaning, in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, God created us and life was awesome and there was no sin. Woo, party, love it. Next major event, Satan and sin enter. Messed everything up, we agreed to sin. And that brought death, disease, and sorrow and suffering. Next major event is the world was judged and destroyed. It was by flood. Because the inclination of man's heart was to do evil all the time. And the world started over by God's hand through Noah. Then there was the one world government. And the one world government was the Tower of Babel. And the Tower of Babel was mankind saying, we have a shared language, we're united, we're going to create our own peace, our own paradise, we're going to be our own God and build a tower to heaven because we're gods. And God confused their languages. The next major event in Genesis 12 for the rest of the Old Testament is all about God making a deal. In fact, we call it the Old Deal from the Old Testament. It's the old contract. And through the nation of Israel, God rose up a deal, a contract, where he would restore us to him. And he showed us the path of restoration, but it was all pointing to the real solution, which is Jesus Christ, God's Son. And everything in history turns on Jesus because everything in the Old Testament is pointing toward it, and then everything that follows looks back on it. And what God was doing in the Old Testament, he tells it in the story, is an ascending mirror image of what happens in descending order in the New Testament, meaning this, it's a mirror image between the two. So the New Testament, after the story of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is a mere image. The New Testament is the story of a deal, only this deal is a remake of the old deal. It's a fulfillment of it. It's the new deal. The new deal is that you can be forgiven of your sin by God, and you don't earn it on your own. And it's not the law. It's the love of God that frees you through the work of Jesus. In other words, this is the era of the church. If you're not clear, you are here in history. The next major event that's coming, Revelation tells us, is a one-world government. Oh my goodness, you mean that all the languages will once again unite and mankind will become secularly humanist, meaning we can become our own God, our own solution, and everything's going to move toward a one world government? Have you not seen that in process? Is that not like, duh? Couldn't have seen it 200 years ago, but you can today. We're going to create our own paradise, become our own God in a whole new level. And the next major event that's going to happen is the world is going to be judged and destroyed. Back in here, it was done by flood. Here, it's going to be by fire. And then God already told us that Satan and sin are going to exit by his hand, and it's going to be over with. And then it closes with God and righteous mankind in paradise. And God restores everything unto himself that he intended to for all who say yes to him through Jesus, because he loves us so much, he made a new deal. And God is bringing about his purposes, and they're going to happen. God is sovereignly in control. See, once you know God is sovereignly in control and that God is sovereign over the forces of evil, nobody's making any decisions that are thwarting God's plan that's going to happen. See, Jesus was fearless. That's why when Jesus stood before Pilate, and Pilate said, "Don't you know that I hold the power of life and death in my hands?" And Jesus said, correction. You would have no power if my Father in heaven hadn't given it to you. No wonder Pilate said, "I'm done with him. I mean, you can't even scare this guy." See, we need that kind of confidence of God so that we can live fearless when we're powerless. And that's no small thing. See, we do live in a world where there's terrorists and unrest. In fact, on September 11th this year, because it's on a Sunday and it's the 15th anniversary, we're going to set that Sunday aside and talk about terrorism, fear, and freedom. What should be our response? What should we do? I know there's unrest. We're in a political hotbed in our nation. And I'm going to answer 2 weeks before, 2 Sundays before the election. I'm going to finally answer a question that just keeps coming. PK, how come you and 12 Stone don't talk about politics? Well, I will, 2 weeks before the election. But I can tell you this. There is no political party that can solve the weight of the problems in this nation or this world that can only be done by the power of God. And that is the only hope and the only solution. That's the truth. So we'll get into it. So the first thing I need the power of God for is for me to live fearless. Do you know how that would change your life if you could live fearless? Not problem-free, but fearless. Second reason is to conquer what conquers me. To conquer what conquers me. It's right in your notes. To do what? Conquer what conquers me. We all got challenges. My son, Jaden, turned 13 this summer. An official teenager. My youngest is now an official teacher. And we had a man talk. We had the man up talk. Now his name Jaden, J-A-D-O-N, his name and the spelling came from Nehemiah, Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 7. In the Hebrew, the name means governing. And all of us love the idea of governing if we're the leader and we're at the top. But what I have to teach my son is the most important part of leading, of governing, is to govern yourself. The most important person to lead and govern is yourself. And so we had the man talk. I told him the difference between being a boy and being a man. In other words, the difference between being a child and being an adult. And every parent wants to have this conversation with their kids when they go to school this season. So I'll just show you what I do. And you ask, Kevin, PK, do you actually, like, why do you keep drawing on stuff? And do you, are you just weird? Do you actually do that everywhere? I do it everywhere. I do it with my kids. So they've had to get through this too. So I did a little drawing with them. And here was the drawing. And it's not very good. It doesn't have to be. It just has to accomplish its purpose. And so here you go. Can anybody in time figure out what that is? Impressive. Good. And which part of the train is that? That's the engine. Good answer. I'm glad you all yelled that. Okay. And then you can kind of guess what this is back here. Good. Caboose. So that's as good as it's going to get. So this is the caboose. Okay. I drew it out for my son. I said, Jaden, I want to teach you the difference between a boy and a man. You're changing your age and you're getting older and you've got to mature from a boy to a man, from a child to an adult. And I'm going to tell you what the change looks like, because every human being has to navigate two great challenges in their life. The first one is their will. The second is their emotions. Your will is how you choose. It's what you choose to do. And your will leans into achievement. Your emotion is how you feel. And this is kind of your emotion saying, this is what I feel like doing. And your feelings lean into entertainment. I said, now, son, I'm going to tell you what's going on. The mark of a boy is this. A boy makes the engine. Now, what is the engine? The engine is the thing that pulls. It pulls things. And the caboose is what gets pulled. And once you understand that, what makes a boy, is that a boy, a child, makes their emotions the engine of their life that drives everything, and their will becomes the caboose. And so they make decisions based on how they feel. I said, son, that's what you've been doing your whole life. Well, this is what I feel, and your will follows. So you make decisions based on how you feel. And that immaturity is the sign of being a boy. And it's possible to be a 13-year-old, a 23-year-old, a 43-year-old, a 63-year-old, and still be a boy internally. Because this is a battle. I said, what makes you a man is that you make your will the engine that drives you. And your emotions become the caboose, and they get pulled along. And eventually, they'll join you in the right thing. You see, men figure out the right thing to do and do it no matter how they feel. And that's what makes you a man. And I said, son, you're going to struggle with that the rest of your life. I know he's not going to solve this quickly, because I've been working on this and I'm in my 50s and I still need the strength of the Lord for self-control. That is the fruit of the Spirit, of the power of God in your life. Parents, you want that conversation with your kids when they go to school, because you know they're not going to feel like going to school, feel like doing their homework, or feel like doing anything else. And the answer is, and who cares? Because listen, if you live out of your emotions and entertainment instead of achievement, your life will become a disappointment. So you better figure out how you're going to do life. See, I need the strength of God to live fearless, to conquer what conquers me, and to live larger. To live what, church? Sure I do. See, his name Jaden from Nehemiah 3:7 is because Jaden was a builder of the wall, the builder of the things of God. And I teach my son, I hope for your sake you choose to become a builder of the things of God. See, we've been in a great and awesome vision that we talked about from the book of Nehemiah about 14 months ago as a church, and many of us are still invested heavily financially in giving to this and making it possible, and that's why because we exist for more than ourselves. We don't just come here for ourselves. We come here and we're building something for the kingdom of God, and we exist in great part for the people who are not here. This church exists in great part for the people who aren't even here because we're part of something bigger than us. That's why when we launch into At the Movies on September 18th, At the Movies, which is an awesome, fun series because it's movies, but we talk about faith, is an easy series, easiest one to invite people. And yeah, we'll do billboards. Yeah, we'll send out mailers. But more importantly, we'll give you invitations. Why? Because you take those invitations and you extend them to people because you know they're most likely to come because it's on movies and we do it in an entertaining way. But it's the first time for many people they ever have a faith conversation. And we know that the movies is just a tool. We don't do it to entertain. We do it to see people's lives changed, that they might come to know God and be restored to Him. We are part of a larger agenda. We're going to open a couple of new buildings for five of those campuses in Snellville and Brownsville. It's going to be awesome. We're excited about it because we want to tap into the power of God and be a part of something larger than us. Now, in June, we had a series about awakening. And on Father's Day weekend, I invited men to come pray. And there's about 500-700 who gathered in and prayed. And I had a stirring, and I'm going to follow it. So on August 27th, Saturday morning, August 27th, I want to talk just to men right now at 12 Stone. August 27th, Saturday morning at 7 a.m. here, for 75 minutes, I want to teach men how to tap into the power of God. How do you do that for your work, your career, your finances, your family, your kids, your future? How do you make these things real? And we're going to pray. I'm going to lead you in prayer. I'm going to go have this conversation. Any man at 12 Stone is welcome, 18 or over. You don't have to sign up, just show up. You need to learn to tap in because this is no hoax. This is the only way you navigate the powerless place that most of us live. And as I turn the service over to the campus pastors, we're all invited to the Saturday night 9:15 prayer time, so everybody has a place. But you got to ask yourself, which of those three do you most need God's power? To get over fear, to conquer what conquers you, or to live larger? Join Nehemiah in his early years. Tap in and bring the strength of God into your life. Parents, go pray for your kids and bring the strength of God into the life of your kids. Prayer is the most practical thing you can do because God is more powerful than we think. Let me pray for us. Bow your heads. Father, would you grant us unusual capacity, unusual awakening, so that the very words and the very strength of what we're speaking to here, that your Spirit is teaching us, might awaken in all who would say, God, I need this. I need to awaken to this. I live in a world where I'm not helpless, but very soon I'm powerless. We got our own list, our own weight, our own issues, our own challenges. God, would you, by your grace right now, everyone who's willing to say, God, help me grow in this. Maybe some of us have been distant. Maybe some of us have quit praying. Maybe some of us have quit believing. Maybe some of us have done the ACE journey, and we once did, but now we don't, and we need to return. We need to be awakened. Maybe many of us are challenged in our marriage or our family or our finances or our career, or maybe in our health, or maybe, God, we just got fear that's sitting in front of us. Maybe we're undone by what's going on in the country and the world. We got our own list of powerless, and we're saying, dear God, could this be true? Could you be more powerful than I think? I pray, Lord, right now you would stir in the hearts of everyone who'd be willing for this to be a new day in praying, and we pray over our kids. And maybe some of us right now would just begin to whisper, God, would you help me? Would you help me? Would you help me come back to some new places? Would you help me go to new places in prayer? Would you help teach me how to tap in? And then, God, would you do for me what you did for Asa? In the place where he was powerless, you crushed the enemy and gave him victory. I pray you would do that, and we would have many stories of that. I pray that kindness in Christ's name, and everyone agreed, saying, amen. And so I want to tell you a story, and it's a powerful story. It's a present-day story. It's not an Old Testament story. It's a